Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson Extra. I am Joseph, sometimes pensive Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson, but you already knew that because you're beautiful, sexy people who support us on Patreon, and you're here today to listen to us talk more about Harry Potter with Rachel!
Woo! That's right, Rachel J. Cushing is here. Can I ask what the J stands for?
J-A-Y-E.
Oh, interesting. Oh, yeah, cool. All right. I like that. All right, cool. See, everybody on Patreon, you're already getting the extra facts. Okay. So, Rachel, I would say that I know you as a person that loves a huge fantasy franchise, and that is not Harry Potter, that is Lord of the Rings, but you also love Harry Potter as well.
Of course.
They are both interesting franchises. They both have interesting connections. They both have prequel series that aren't that great. So I thought it'd be interesting to talk about Lord of the Rings versus Harry Potter, since you are an expert in both, and we both like those things as well. And I'm very indifferent on both of them. I like Lord of the Rings.
Star Trek nerd.
That's right. Yep. I want to go to the future. I don't want to go to the past with horses.
Look, Jason owns one sword, and it's Conan the Barbarian sword.
That is right. That's my fantasy. It's Conan the Barbarian.
Okay. All right.
Yep, the Lamentations.
Respect.
I like the Lamentations of Women.
You like him a little more. You like him a little more murdery.
That's right. I do. That's right. You're gonna have swords. Let's murder some people. Damn it. Yeah. So I don't know, Rachel, if a wand was put to your head, like you put to J.K. Rowling's head in the main episode, would you choose one over the other one?
Yes. Okay. And it would be Lord of the Rings. And it's not a question of which is better to me.
Oh, I don't think so.
They're very apples and oranges.
I think they are. They are very different styles, very different goals. And what it boils down to for me is what I grew up with. My parents were reading Lord of the Rings to me before I was old enough to read them for myself. And my sister and I grew up on the characters and knowing who they were before we knew, you know, the whatever kids know by the
Prime
time
Meridian.
They're five. it was just something that has been, I cannot think of a time in my life where it wasn't a part of my life. And that's the case with, you know, the next generation. There is an entire generation, and now going on to two generations, of kids who will never know a life without Harry Potter in it. And so to them, it's the thing that they grew up with. They were that age. They were aging with Harry as they were going through the books.
The first book when I was 11, the last one when I was 17.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you're going to have a connection to them that I'm not. Mm-hmm. Because
here's some math, everybody.
And here's some more.
You'll have to figure out what year I read the first one.
Right.
Get to the Google.
And I was significantly older. I was an adult when I read the first one. So for me, it's not about content, it's about connection, and I just have a connection with Lord of the Rings. So, you know, wand to my head, that's actually a pretty easy decision for me.
That's totally fine and the correct answer. No, it's not. I'm just saying that. So I thought it'd be interesting to talk through different aspects of Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter and then see, you know, where you come down on these things. So one of these I hear on the internet all the time is Dumbledore versus Gandalf.
Oh my God, it's so easy.
Well, yeah. To me, it's pretty obvious too. But I'm just curious. Like,
one of them is anointed by elf gods.
But who's the more powerful? Who do you think wins in that wizard duel?
Powerful.
Powerful. Then we're gonna answer. Who do you think is better?
Right. I mean, again, I have a bad feeling my answers are all gonna lean towards one side.
It's fine.
Yeah. It's Gandalf for me. Because of the mythology behind it, and as Ashley just said, you know, he's a Maia, and he had to give up his, you know, his angel like form to be thrust into the man of an old, the body of an old man to go and, you know, save Middle Earth, or be at least part of saving Middle Earth. I feel like, you know, they're equal in the sense of being the mentor figures, of feeling the weights of their worlds and passing on what they can in the time that they have left. I don't know, like,
but only one of them beat a Balrog and one of them got taken down by Snape, so I think we know the answer.
And the rules of their worlds are different enough that it's hard to say, like, significantly of what is more powerful than the other. But if you're asking me who I want on my side in whatever fantasy world fight I get into, it's going to be Gandalf.
Also, one of them sacrificed a child and was willing to kill him.
Yeah, Dumbledore.
Yeah, and one of them is Gandalf.
It's yeah. funny, I'm thinking up more comparisons, and it's like, which dark-haired, short male lead do you think is more interesting or compelling or sacrifices more? Which lighter-haired, dumb companion do you think is more compelling? Like, the similarities are rife. I mean, there's even giant spiders in both franchises, well, for goodness sake.
Yeah, let's true. Make this complication, because I bet this is a question you might not have been asked before. Which franchise has the better score?
Ooh.
Harry Potter by John Williams. I'm going to John Williams.
Because it's John Williams.
Or Howard Shore, Lord of the Rings.
I would say Lord of the Rings, mostly because there are more themes mm-hmm. in Lord of the Rings, and Howard Shore did them all. Like, I never thought that he could top Fellowship, like with the Shire theme and the Fellowship theme. And the Black Riders theme, and then you get to Two Towers, and you get Rohan. The Ents theme, and you get the Rohirrim theme, and then you get to the final one, and you get the score for the Battle of Pelennor Fields, and it's like, God damn it, you keep coming up with new things that still fit, whereas like you think of the main Harry Potter theme that John Williams did, and particularly I love the
very good.
It's beautiful very good and it's haunting music. In yep. the exact right ways, and I love the Phoenix theme from the second film is beautiful as well. So, but they're similar, and I don't feel like there is as much variety, and then other composers came along and you know, it did their own thing.
They were not as good. I'm sorry.
if you're talking about what I can recognize, I could sure. way more of the themes out of the Lord of the Rings scores mm-hmm. than I could for the Harry Potter
also,
ones.
I'm disappointed that no one brought up Buckbeak's theme from Prisoner of the Azkaban. I'm not joking. That is literally the yeah. best music cue of Harry Potter.
I want to ask Rachel a question that I actually think might be a difficult choice.
Ooh.
Mature feminine characters in both franchises, Galadriel or McGonagall?
McGonagall is more, she's human, so that's part, that, you know, and
still
and
headmistress.
Still headmistress.
According to Rowling.
Oh, like amazing. Like,
even in Cursed Child times?
Even in 2017, she stated McGonagall is still the headmistress of Hogwarts.
As of right
she's
now.
1,000 years old.
Is it when you become the headminister? Headminister. Oh, no, don't, yeah, okay. When you become the headmaster of Hogwarts, do you sign like a deal with the satanic devil, the Harry Potter world? Because they live forever.
Wizards, Harry Potter. Potter wizards, depending on your power, can live longer. Like Dumbledore is supposed to be 150 plus.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
they can.
I mean, he had access
longer.
To the Philosopher's Stone yeah. at some point.
I'm just saying, like McGonagall, all right,
but, I mean,
looks 150.
She, yeah, she's probably yeah. up there as well. I mean, I guess yeah.
She spent some of her time.
McGonagall versus Galadriel is very interesting.
I mean, here's the thing. Like on a personal level, like I grew up idolizing the elves.
I think all young women do.
I mean, she's so majestic and regal and powerful, and her backstory is actually kind of heartbreaking.
Also, if everyone hasn't checked out Rachel's transformation as Galadriel.
Yes, and I've cosplayed. Very fun. But you have to say that across the board, generally speaking, that Rowling as a modern writer, as a female herself, mm-hmm. wrote far more just in number, but also more layered and more interesting and more flawed, mm-hmm. you know, well-rounded female characters. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of very strong argument that Hermione's, you know, the certainly the best of the trio, if not one of the best
yes.
characters in the series.
She really is the best wizard of her age.
Pretty much.
She's the only reason those two morons passed anything.
Yeah.
She's
true.
The only reason they're still alive. The more spite I have for Harry and Ron.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'll never forget Eowyn and you know I am no
yes.
man, and Galadriel is a beautiful character that I've loved since I was little. But if you're talking about well-rounded, interesting, you know, well thought out characters, then Rowling's got the edge on that.
I'm just gonna say that I think McGonagall fights dirty, and I think
why do you think that?
Just look at her shifty eyes, and I think Galadriel's just crazy, so I think McGonagall takes her in a heartbeat.
definitely insane. Yeah.
I think I think McGonagall's like Batman. She plans for every contingency.
That's why Haldir grows up to be the Baron from Into the Badlands. He just
that is
crazy
true. That is true. That is true. By the way, the actor that plays Haldir, her husband, is
Craig Parker.
Haldir grows up to be Rain. It's Kellebourne who's her husband. That's
Kellebourne.
Martin Csakas.
Yeah. I had it right. Ah.
I don't know what his name is. He has exactly one line.
I don't remember. I think McGonagall's shifty. I think McGonagall takes Galadriel.
Are you projecting Maggie Smith onto this?
A little bit.
Maggie Smith, also 100,000 years old.
Maggie Smith, also currently the headmistress of Hogwarts Academy.
Fun fact, Minerva McGonagall is the first witch that you meet of any significance. I just read the first Harry Potter book again in French, and you start with the Dursleys for a long time, and he does pass groups of witches and wizards that are like huddled around and talking and dressed funny, but the first magical character you see is the cat sitting and looking, and then and the cat sees Dumbledore with the Deluminator.
Yep.
So not insignificant. Nope. Mm-hmm. Which is the better spider?
Shelob or Aragog? Could you imagine their children?
They would have eight legs and eight eyes.
Can I automatically count out the one that I would not include in this? Because I've always thought that Aragog was misspelled Aragorn. And when both franchises were in the movie theaters at the same time, that was very confusing for me.
Oh.
So I give it automatically to Shelob.
Okay.
Is it Shelob? Shelob.
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 Well, okay.
Jeff Loeb.
Pronunciations, I mean, the people will argue a variety of things in that. I suppose that neither one is significantly more interesting than the other. So by default, Shelob?
Yeah, neither of them says anything.
Aragog kind of does.
Let's give you the most difficult. Let's give you the most difficult question that you could probably get for these two franchises. If you had to say that one of these had a bigger cultural impact than the other one.
Crap.
It's a tough question. What one do you think? Because for as much as I love Lord of the Rings, I think it's Harry Potter.
Lord of the Rings, though, I mean, just has been around so much. Lord of the Rings influenced Harry Potter.
There wouldn't be a Harry Potter without Lord of the Rings, and foremost.
That's a good question. It's a tough question.
It is. And it's hard because we weren't alive in the 50s when they came out.
And there wasn't social media or TV.
It did have a social and cultural impact, but there is there's no possible way to deny what Harry Potter did for, you know, the last couple of generations in the sense of, I mean, I've loved to read my whole life, but I feel like fewer and fewer people enjoy it.
That's
like
part of my argument is that I think
that Harry Potter like saved that generation that grew up with it and encouraged them to read, and they fell in love with those, and that opened a world of reading to these to a generation that, like, it just seems like fewer and fewer people have the attention spans or whatever. I don't know what all the reasons are, but people seem to be reading less, and those books almost single-handedly like staved off, you know, a real downturn in that kind of thing.
I think Harry Potter is the populist answer. It's still a word I heard Jason use yesterday.
And it appeals to a larger variety.
And
kids can't read Lord of the Rings and really quite get it.
Lord of the Rings.
I mean, I did, but I was a weird
contemporary
child.
It's contemporary, which is
yes, much more.
No, it's not. It ends in 1998.
Well, it's contemporary-ish.
But I think Lord of the Rings is... I can't think of a better word than this, but it's maybe the more elegant answer, because it has been, those books have been elevated to literature. They were conceived of and constructed to be children's stories. But the way that culture and literature has evolved, it's more than that now. They are studied academically. Harry Potter is too, but not as widely. And the Lord of the Rings has 13 Oscars.
True.
So I think it depends on how, when you talk about influence, you talk about significance, I think it depends on sort of the metric by which you're measuring
it. That's true. I would be honest, I completely forgot about the Best Picture Oscar winner.
First member of a franchise and first fantasy to win Best Picture.
And I'd be curious to, you know, what, so, you know, we're 65, 70 years out from The Lord of the Rings.
65, like, 70 years old, yes.
Yeah. So so what happens 50 years after Harry Potter's out? Will, because Lord of the Rings has stood the test of time. Mm-hmm. Those movies didn't get made until 55 years after those books. Yeah. So like, will, so Lord of the Rings is still part of pop culture.
And Harry Potter, so 50 years after, I'm going to make Potter, a crazy prediction. Harry Potter is going to suffer the effects of modern storytelling. We will see the reboot of the seven original Harry Potter books in our lifetime.
Yes,
it will happen.
Thinking about that makes me want to hit my head against the wall. Even though I'm not, I've said this several times, I'm not a fan of the Harry Potter film adaptations. I think there are some really good parts, but I think on the whole, I think they fail to stand up to what the books throw down. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, on the one hand, I want to be excited that maybe we'll get something closer to what I would have liked to have seen.
Sure.
But I don't need more reboot culture, guys.
I know.
I have this weird, and just in my crazy head, I think we get however many Fantastic Beasts are going to be.
Daniel Radcliffe's going to play Gandalf one day.
Well,
he'll play Snape in the first round of reboots when he's about 40. And then he'll play, he'll play Dumbledore when he's an old man.
Well, I think,
and he'll also die in the role.
I think once we get past Fantastic Beasts, we get a Harry Potter sequel.
You don't think we get Cursed Child?
No, we'll get Cursed Child that will launch Daniel Radcliffe and all those actors as old for like five more movies. And then once we get done with that, I bet you they do some weird time travel hinkiness or something. And then we get the reboot of the original seven.
Yeah, I don't even know if they're even going to need to do anything hinky. I think that
they'll probably just
the
do
culture
it.
But is what it is.
Of all of those, yeah, we'll definitely get that reboot.
Is all about a time turner, right? I haven't read it.
Yeah, it is. It's not great.
So it's already about time travel.
Yeah, the time turner was like the thing that she should never have invented. Prisoner of Azkaban is a very well-constructed story, that item has gotten her into a whole lot of trouble.
It's funny because I really liked it in Prisoner of Azkaban because the fact that Hermione is taking every single class and how she's accomplishing it, like it's so telling about how capable she is and who she is as a person that she's that dedicated to her craft.
And I like the decisions that the kids have to make based on that, having that ability, and like, when do they
Barry
turn it
Allen
back
could
to
use a lesson from them.
Most time travel shows, movies, whatever's probably could, but it's a rabbit hole to go down. And then once you open up that as a possibility in your created world, then you just run into so many problems of, well, why didn't they just like go back and stop Voldemort if he was born? And then you just go down that rabbit hole of problems.
Do you, in your personal headcanon, do you consider Cursed Child as part of it or not? How do you feel about Cursed Child?
I didn't love it, mostly because I really couldn't believe she went back to using something that she had already established, you know, as she went on record to say, like, we used it in Prisoner of Azkaban, and then I wrote it into the story how, you know, important it was to, like, basically get rid of the ability to use these things in this world. Like, she wrote herself out of the problem I just talked about, which is, you know, when they're going up against Voldemort, if you have a freaking time travel machine, you use that to defeat him. But they didn't. So then to kind of renege and make that the focus of her, the Cursed Child, to me, put me off from the get-go. I do think the characterizations are good. I liked the new characters. I liked the new relationships. But I really disliked that was the plot that she decided to go with. I very much want to see the show. I very much hope to, and everything else. I've heard the staging is amazing, but I was disappointed by the book. And so I've not reread it more than the once that I've read it, whereas I'll just pull off one of the Harry Potter books from the shelf and just start reading it if I'm bored in an afternoon. So, I mean, I know it's part of canon, but it's not like
doesn't
have
to be part
in
of your
my head.
Canon,
yeah,
we say on this podcast all the time that continuity or canon is what you make of it, because especially in the world of comic books, there are so many reboots and retellings that you kind of have to decide what you like and what you don't. So to me, Cursed Child, even Fantastic Beasts for the Harry Potter franchise is that decision. You can, in your mind, nothing in Fantastic Beasts could have happened in your head. It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. Any final questions for Rachel here, Ashley?
What kind of familiar would you want?
Like a Patronus?
Yeah, or like the pets that they have.
Oh.
Patronus is a better question is what I should have asked you.
Yeah.
Let me, Rachel, what would your Patronus be?
Well, Pottermore said it was a badger, and I was kind of like,
yeah, but like, fuck Pottermore.
Is Pottermore just random with that?
I don't know. I answered a lot of questions to get there, and I was like,
But I think there's only maybe 15 answers.
That could be.
You know, like, I don't know if, what's the fanged deer? What are they called? Muntjac. I don't think a Muntjac is on there. So, you know, I don't think they have exotic animals or anything like that.
Yeah. I always wanted it to be something, a bird of some kind, because a flight
even with your Ravenclaw
is something
theme.
A little bit, you know, but like, I mean, Fox was always a character that I was just so in love with the idea of.
I think you're
and
a cat.
The owls.
I mean,
cat. Patronus is not necessarily representative of you. You know, like, it's not like.
Oh, it's not?
Well, it's not necessarily what you transfigure in, right? Because like Snape's Patronus. Is Lily
the
doe, you know, and like Harry's is the stag. Like,
I just know how much Rachel loves cats, so I would say Rachel would be a cat. You'd be a fox.
Yeah, what would you be?
The platypus.
And that's not true at all.
I don't know. I'd probably be a, I don't know, bull or a dog, right?
I don't know.
You tell me.
I think you'd be like a bear.
Okay.
Black bear.
Like, a black bear?
Yeah, the kind of bears that can climb trees. Grizzly bears can't climb a tree. They're too fast.
The evil bears. Okay.
Yeah. You're a real tricky bear.
Poor tricky black bear. You know, I'm a Yogi Bear. That's my Patronus. I'm Yogi Bear. Yeah, hey, boo boo. This big nut basket has some magic in it.
Although, if Rachel, it's funny to keep the black theme going. I feel like if Rachel, if your Patronus was a bird, it would have to be a black bird because they're the smartest. You know, like a magpie or a raven or a crow.
I'll take that.
Something fun like that.
Yeah. Well, she'd be there. It's going to be Raven, because Game of Thrones it referenced.
I know. Who would have bring another fantasy franchise into this conversation?
It's on Rachel's awesome shirt that she's wearing right now that combines all the franchises. Yep. Rachel, final question, even though we said final question already. If you were to, let's say, meet a young nerdy girl or young nerdy boy that has similar temperament to what you have, like you can recognize, like, you're this person's a nerd. Mm-hmm. I can tell. They're about 8 years old. And they say, hey, Rachel, I want to watch Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter because I've heard they're both great. Which one do you start them with? And don't let age or to comparatively to violence temper your decision.
Right. No. I mean, the temperament of the child is also, or the person, if mm-hmm, I mean, if we're just, mm-hmm. you know, taking a step back with it. I probably would. You said movies.
Or would I'm you, going movies. Books, and movies. Would you rather go books?
Books is easier. Books
Let's
is
go books.
Books would be Harry Potter first.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I feel like they're just structured a little bit easier. The Lord of the Rings is tough to dive into if you have no real fantasy experience, mm-hmm. and you have to like, you know, understand that you're going on the tangents and that you're going to be talking about pieces of this world that actually have nothing to do with the primary story that is being told over the course of this. You know, Rowling is focused for the most part. Like there aren't a lot of, you know, trips into the old forest and meeting
Tom Bombadil.
which I adore, but for a first time reader, you might then think that he's important, and then when he doesn't come back, you just have to wrap
really
your mind
who's
around
important in that story.
Good point. But it's hard to wrap your head around the Lord of the Rings because it sort of breaks a lot of storytelling rules, if you will. Not that there should be rules, but in some sense that there are. Harry Potter is an easier world to fall into and follow. It still has plenty of depth and interest and whatnot, but it would be the gateway, I think, a story into that world. Because like I said, I actually grew up on Lord of the Rings, but one of the very first fantasy series I ever read was David Eddings' The Belgariad. Mm-hmm. And it is one of the most simplistic ones out there. I adore it though, because I had the flashlight in my bed as a 10-year-old reading those books because I was so enamored with the idea of fantasy worlds and it, and what the tropes were, and it was the one that made me go and search out Robert Jordan and you know, Terry Goodkind and all of the authors. And you know, luckily I had Tolkien in my life already, but it still eased me into that.
Your statements just made me come up with another final question. Real quick.
Okay.
You can time travel back to 1999. There is a Tom Bombadil in Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings. Who do you cast?
Oh my gosh.
Sebastian McCoy would have been great.
Oh, good choice.
Yeah, I could see that, definitely. Oh man. Oh God, this just jumped into my head and I don't know if it's quite right, but like a Tom Hiddleston, somebody who is theatrical, who is somewhat musical because
he's sprightly.
Like he's described as, you know, he talks in riddle and song an awful lot and it's like a spring in his step and everything else and he's supposed to be ageless.
Yeah.
Like you're not supposed to necessarily pinpoint like that he's old per se. That's what jumped into my head.
That works for me. That sounds great. And thank you so much for, I loved all the tangents our Lord of the Rings versus Harry Potter conversation went. This was great. I loved that we found out that my Patronus is Yogi Bear, specifically Yogi Bear.
Please draw that.
Draw me patroning Yogi Bear, please.
Oh my God!
Again,
you have very talented fans. I have no doubt that will happen.
We have a lot of people that would do amazing pictures. So Rachel, real quick, our patrons probably know this because if they're awesome, they follow you. But where can they find you on the internet?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Rachel J. Cushing.
Thank you so much for talking to us, Rachel.
Thanks for having me. Anytime.
I have been Jason Yogi Bear Inman.
I've been Ashley Victoria Robinson.
Thank you so much for your support. It's because of your support that this extra episodes happen. And stay cool, super friends.